everyone, and welcome back to the Film Fund Podcast. I'm your host, founder, and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verity. I'm also an award-winning filmmaker, producer, and film festival judge. I started the Film Fund to give artists and filmmakers an easier, alternative way to get their film funded. Instead of working on an intensive screenplay, crowdfunding campaign, or grant application, you write one sentence pitching your film for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make it. Our most recent fall 2020 contest is now over, and we want to thank all of the people who submitted and remind listeners that contests do happen regularly. So if you're listening at a later date, check the website at thefilmfund.co for the most up-to-date information. This week, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Many of our awesome listeners who have been tuning in may be wondering just who I am. So in this episode of the podcast, I'll tell you more about how the Film Fund came to be, how entrepreneurship and filmmaking go hand in hand. To start, allow me to introduce myself in a little bit more detail. For those who don't know, I am Thomas Verity, founder and executive producer here at the Film Fund. Usually go by Tom, but I write Thomas to make myself sound a little bit more fancy. Why am I saying that? I don't know. Let's just keep going. So I'm a filmmaker, just like everyone else in the Film Fund community. When I was thinking about starting the Film Fund, I was in college. It started out as a college project, and I was in this entrepreneurship course. And there were two different courses. One was like they were capstone courses, and one was part one, and the second one was part two. In part one, I had this idea, it was called Surgeon Scope, and it was basically a tool that let you find surgeons that are best for your particular use case if you were having surgery. And it was a great, you know, product, great website idea that I had, but it was pretty boring. It was about healthcare and the medical industry and orthopedic surgeons. So I got an A, which is great. Well, who cares? But at the end of the semester, the professor comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Tom, how about," and it was the same professor for the next course. So he goes, "Hey, Tom, how about, you know, next semester you do something that you're actually interested in." I don't know if he said it that bluntly, but in so many words, he was basically saying, "What the fuck are you doing? You're interested in film, do something related to film." So at the same time, I was working on a screenplay, a short script called Son of Blackbeard. It's about how Blackbeard the pirate, this menacing historical figure, somehow exists in the modern world and has a 20-something-year-old son who just wants to party and get high and is just fucking up his father's legacy. So Blackbeard puts him through a series of tests that kind of threaten son of Blackbeard's life and makes him prove himself. I don't want to give too much away, but there's the conflict between father and son with the humor of, you know, Blackbeard existing in the modern world and the son ordering things like pizza and wings and asking if he wants any during the middle of a raid, things like that. So I wrote this short script, and I had never really written a script before. I had written little tiny things, but this one I was taking really, really seriously. And so I was submitting it to different contests, different screenwriting contests, different, you know, film festivals. And I submitted it to Holly Schwartz Film Festival, and it was accepted, and it was named a semi-finalist, and I was just ecstatic. Flew out to LA, went to Holly Schwartz Film Festival, which was an incredible experience. I'm from Philly, so I mean, there's a film scene here, but, you know, it was Hollywood, and it was at the Chinese Theater, and it was just incredible. Sadly, I did not win the screenwriting competition. There was a cash prize, I think, that would have let me make it, but it gave me the confidence to start submitting it to other competitions, other funding opportunities, other grants, and it was just so frustrating because this is probably a year process and nothing is hitting. There were two grants through my school, actually, at Lehigh, and the applications for them were just like, I think I worked on them for months. They were like 20 pages each. I actually met with the grant committee of one of the organizations, and the woman said, "You know, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but this is looking really good. You're most likely going to get this grant." And I was like, "Holy shit, this is awesome." But, you know, lo and behold, I did not get that grant. Thankfully, I did get another grant. And to be honest, it was because, I mean, who knows, but I had a pretty close relationship with a creative writing professor who I'd taken multiple times, and she really liked my work. And I think she kind of went to bat for me to help me get the grant. It's all about who you know. And it's just like, So I did get the grant. I got a few thousand to make the short, which was awesome. You can watch it on YouTube, my Vimeo page, IGTV, Facebook Watch. It's out there. If you just Google Son of Blackbeard, it'll come up. But it was just so, and it got into some festivals too. Once I finally made it, you know, it got, I'm trying to think of the, I didn't prepare to plug this right now as well as I should have, but it premiered at, it won Best of Fest at Bucks Fever Film Fest in the Philadelphia area. It was at First Glance Film Festival in Philadelphia. It won the Cape May Film Festival. It won the New Hope Film Festival. You can go to my website, thomasverdi.com, to see a full list of awards and nominations. It's also been nominated for Best Cinematography at Genre Blast Film Festival. So there are a handful. There was one really funny film festival called the, I think, the Colorado International Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival. It was accepted there. It was also at Laugh or Die Film Festival. So there are a handful of festivals and awards that it played at. So it was awesome. It was my, you know, my first real production that wasn't just my friends and, you know, my dad holding the boom pole in my backyard, right? But not to digress too much, to get back to the entrepreneurship part of it, I was looking for funding for this short film, Son of Blackbeard, around the same time this entrepreneurship course was happening. So my professor told me to scratch my own itch, which essentially meant, you know, solve a problem that I'm experiencing myself. And a lot of times, you know, when you study entrepreneurship, they'll tell you not to do that. They'll tell you go out into the marketplace and find a problem that many people are having. You know, do some market research. Don't just create something for yourself that you think is cool. Well, I, you know, this was still undergrad. I wasn't in my master's program, which was also in entrepreneurship, but kind of without knowing it, I was doing that market research. Yeah, I was creating something for myself, but also when I was going to these film festivals, I was meeting other filmmakers, I was meeting other producers, and I was asking them how they funded their films. And it was just, it was sad. It was like, oh, I dumped all this money in myself, or I had to go through this grueling grant application, or one guy was really bitter because I asked him about some film school students. I won't name any of the schools, but he was like, oh yeah, it's a bunch of rich kids, you know? So I was like, damn. So like there, I was identifying, and this wasn't just a handful of people. This was, you know, at least probably by the time I went to all of the festivals, probably 50 people or more. I was doing market research and I identified a problem. No one wants to fund short films, and they're largely self-funded, or they go through crowdfunding campaigns, which can be really great. And we love screenwriting contests. We love crowdfunding campaigns. We love grants. But I realized there was an opportunity to do something a little bit simpler. So the beginning of the first idea for the film fund, actually, it wasn't a contest at all. There was no skill component to it. It was literally a lottery. I wanted to completely level the playing field, make it completely unbiased for everyone who entered. Make it just a funding pool. You know, submit. I think at the time I wanted to do like $50 or maybe $100. You just submit, and winners are picked at random from the funding, and we would take some of it as profit. Well, I was super excited because like the numbers on paper looked great based on the research I had done and different entries to other screenwriting competitions and people I had talked to. But after doing some research, a few Google searches, I realized that that is completely illegal. You cannot run your own lottery in, I'm not sure if it's, I would imagine the whole United States, but at least in Pennsylvania, where I'm based, you can't do that without license from the state. So, you know, the Pennsylvania Lottery has permission from the state of Pennsylvania to run their lottery. The film fund, this kid in college, was not going to get permission from the state to run a film lottery. At least I didn't think that was a viable path to take at the time. There was one kind of funny loophole I found where if you owned a bar, you could run a lottery. It was almost, or a raffle or something that would have been the same exact thing, but you had to own a bar. So I briefly looked at purchasing a bar and maybe getting an SBA loan and doing that, but then that probably didn't last more than a day because I realized this, am I running a bar now or am I starting a film funding company? So I sat back and I said, okay, well, keeping the same intent, leveling the playing field a little bit, not using a huge grueling application or making people round up support for a crowdfunding campaign or working on a really, you know, putting hours into a screenplay. How do we mimic this lottery model, make it simpler, but still make it legal and fair to everyone who enters? Well, I remember the concept of a log line, you know, and to make that more, even more relevant to entrepreneurship, pitching a project, what's your elevator pitch? Explain to me what you're doing in like a sentence, in the amount of time someone could be in the elevator with somebody. Explain to me what your project's about. And it's not easy. I mean, it is easy. It's simple. You can write it in a few seconds. But if you want a good entry, you have to sit down and think, what is my project really about? It's easy once you formulate it. Like I didn't give, when I was talking about Son of Blackbeard a few minutes ago, I didn't give a great log line or a one sentence pitch. But at the same time, I did get the idea across. Anyway, I wanted something simple and legal. And I looked it up and I found out I could do something called a skill-based contest. And legally, that's what the Film Fund's classified as. It's a skill-based contest. If you go to the bottom of our website and you go to official rules, the terms of service there, terms, conditions, whatever that's called on that page, it's classified as a skill-based contest. So that's how the idea for the Film Fund came to be. I was an English major with a film minor, creative writing minor, some other stuff. So I didn't have any technical chops at the time. I used to build computers in middle school, but that wasn't exactly going to help me create this online submission platform I was envisioning. But I had some nerdy friends, and one of them was a computer science major, and he was really good. He works for Google now, I believe. But I asked him if he'd be interested in creating this simple website, and I ended up paying him, I think, $60 and like a bottle of rum or something. I think it was maybe Captain Morgan. Captain Morgan, if you're listening, we would love a sponsorship for the Film Fund podcast. But anyway, like super cheap website. Like he was interested in it for the experience, and I think he learned a lot doing it, but probably should have been paid a little bit more. I didn't really have the money at the time. But he, for the money I gave him, he gave me an awesome, awesome website. And it was just this like, I don't even know if it was more than three. At first, it was just one page. Actually, my friend Jagar, different one than the guy who actually made the Film Fund website you could submit on. We did a one-page website where you would just enter your email address if you were interested in the idea. So that was just this ugly one-page website, just like all in HTML. And then I paid the other guy, my friend Wag, $60, and he made the website. But this thing, it was nothing fancy. Like, if I knew, I would have used WordPress, like the website's based in now. But anyway, I came up with the idea, found a skill-based contest, found a friend who could make the website, and I just started getting it out there. And by that, I mean I was DMing writers about film on Twitter. I went to No Film School. I found their masthead. I found that they listed email addresses and Twitter handles for a lot of their writers on their masthead page. And I just sent like a message like, hey, I created a simpler funding platform or something. I forget the exact message. I could find a screenshot somewhere, I'm sure. But I was like, hey, I created this new way to fund films. Could you check it out? And most of them went unread or ignored. But one of them, Oakley Anderson Moore, thank you so much. I still email with you back and forth whenever we have a contest opening. She replied and she said, hey, this sounds pretty cool. Here's my email address. Send me more information. And she posted us on No Film Schools. You know, they always have a big list of, you know, winter 2020 grants and contests. And we got posted on there. And I think, and there was a little quote by me about what the Film Fund was from this tiny little website. And it just said, like, exactly what I've been talking about. I was frustrated with the industry. I saw crowdfunding dominated by people who already had followings and backgrounds and audiences, which is great. But it's a lot of work to do that. And I wanted to create something a lot simpler to help out filmmakers like myself who didn't have those opportunities and who were really struggling. And I think that resonated with a lot of people, and a lot of our customers did and still do come from no film school. So as a student, I, you know, continued going to school, got my undergrad degree, and then I decided to stay, had a scholarship because I was a super nerd as well and had a certain GPA, and Lehigh is awesome. I don't know if they still do this, but at the time, if you had a certain GPA, you could get a free fifth year to study whatever you want. So I found a one-year master's program that was in entrepreneurship, technically an engineering program. So I have my master of engineering degree. Like, does that make sense? Being in film, but I was able to iterate on that little website and transform it into a bigger, more professional website, learn about content marketing and SEO and email marketing and how to launch products and digital products and services, finance, all that kind of stuff in the master's program. So I was able to iterate on this idea from undergrad and really blossom it in that program. So that's the end. Then after I finished that grad program, I didn't do the film fund full time at first. I was working at a, I don't know how to classify it, I guess a video production company that also is a digital marketing agency. My work was a little all over the place while I was there, but I was working a day job at, let's just say, a digital agency and doing the film fund on the side. So I would be first to try to do it after work, and it was just exhausting. You know, I would come home working late hours sometimes and just like crank out a blog post for 2 hours and then go to bed, or it was not working. So then I started getting up at 5 a.m. trying to do the blog post in the morning and the newsletters and everything, and then going to work. I was getting migraines. I had to leave work one time. It was just, it was tough. But then, you know, the film fund started growing. More people started entering. I looked at the revenue from each contest and said, okay, well, this, I'm not making money hand over foot here or anything, but it's enough to sustain the website, and it's enough to give away the prizes from the entry fees and pay my bills. So fuck it. I'm going to quit. I gave my notice. I left on really good terms. It gave me a cookie cake, which was fun. But then I've been doing the film fund full time. Pandemic hit. We're still here. But that is how the film fund came to be. So my film career is a little multifaceted. I have the entrepreneurship, you know, quote unquote suit side of it, even though I'm wearing a hoodie right now with the Film Fund's logo on it. But there are two sides of it. There's the business side and the creative filmmaker side. And I'm pretty early in my career. You know, I'm just like a lot of people in the Film Fund community. We have more experienced people, sure. We have people who've never made a film before, and then we have people like me who are kind of in the middle. I'm not repped by an agent or a manager yet. I haven't really pursued that since I've been doing the Film Fund. But that's me. My biggest project to date is Son of Blackbeard. You know, there are other little projects like Chicken was the first short I did. Apathy was the first short I did. Then Chicken. Then Hello, May Speak to Gus. You can watch some of them on my website. The first couple of ones were really, really, really bad. So you cannot watch them. I've buried them. My one friend and I who were in it, sometimes we'll watch it just, you know, for shits and gigs, as they say. But Son of Blackbeard was my first real short film with an actual budget and a professional crew. So I'm pretty early in my directing career, and I'm super excited about it. I have another short that I wrote before the pandemic called The Toms. I won't talk about that too much because it's not out there yet, but that'll be my second short film with a budget and professional crew, which I'm psyched about. But yeah, that's me. In terms of the filmmakers, I didn't really get into film until, the reason I ended up at Lehigh was because I thought I wanted to do engineering. I mentioned, you know, tinkering around with computers when I was in middle school. And I was kind of techie in high school. I did lighting and sound for the theater. So, you know, but I was slowly moving toward the arts. You know, I was in jazz band and theater, but the tech side of the theater, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I gravitated toward engineering because I saw that's where some of the quote-unquote smart kids, what they were studying. But I say all that about high school because I didn't really get into film until high school. And it was because some of those artsier friends from theater recommended Pulp Fiction, which, yes, is the stereotypical film that all film bros, as I've heard it called, like. and, you know, they become obsessed with Tarantino, or maybe it was Tarantine Bro, something like that. An intern at that day job I had called me a film bro or something. It was pretty funny. But anyway, I started out with Tarantino. He was like the god to me for the longest time, and he's still amazing. Then as I got more into film, I started looking at Hitchcock and who else? David Lynch, I would say, is my favorite filmmaker now. You know, Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks is just absolutely incredible. Eraserhead, just the surrealism of all those films. Just, I realized a film doesn't necessarily need to make quote-unquote sense to everyone to tell an effective story. It can be quirky, it can be interesting, without necessarily following the perfect structure. So that's, I'm interested in David Lynch a lot, but started out with Tarantino, watched his entire filmography. Stanley Kubrick is also one of my all-time favorite filmmakers. I like Sofia Coppola a lot as well. So there's some of my, we have a page on the website called the Film Fund Auteurs, where it kind of, it talks about auteur theory a little bit, but it turns it on its head a little bit. You know, auteur theory is the, let's actually just read it straight from the website. You hear my keyboard clacking away. We are loading here. Here we go. So, what is film auteur theory? Generally, a writer-director, an auteur film director puts a personal stamp on everything he or she creates. Think Quentin Tarantino, Alfred Hitchcock, Martin Scorsese. Oh, yeah, Scorsese, Wes Anderson. I wrote this, so obviously I put some of my favorites in there. And then we have people like Howard Hawks, John Ford, Terry Gilliam, Sofia Coppola, Ava DuVernay, and Catherine Bigelow. And then below that, I wrote the word you, because it, a lot of people don't like film auteur theory. They think it's dominated by men. They think it's like, you know, all of this credit is being given to this one person and it's their film. The definition I have here is filmmaker whose individual style and complete control over all elements of production give a film its personal and unique stamp. A lot of people don't like that, but we turn it on its head a little bit and write, the Film Fund wants to show off your stamps. So, and it's free. You can submit your film, anything you, even if you haven't won a contest, you can submit anything that has to do with film. You can submit a crowdfunding campaign. You can submit your portfolio. You can submit your latest short, your music videos, whatever. We want to show off your greatness with the community. And we'll feature it below. So you don't have to be this famous auteur established in the industry to get your work out there. You can go to our website, thefilmfund.co/auteurs. For those who are spelling challenged, since it's a weird word, it's A-U-T-E-U-R-S. Yeah, so those are some of my favorite filmmakers. Tarantino definitely got me into film. I just thought it I thought the black comedy of his, I didn't even know, oh, obviously, duh. Martin McDonagh, just like, in my opinion, is the ultimate master of dark humor, black comedy, whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, In Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, The Pillow Man. I don't think there's a film adaptation of The Pillow Man, but The Pillow Man's a play that is just honestly so fucked up. There's like, I did the soundboard for it for a play at Lehigh, because I was involved in theater for my first year there. And I just remember like something about Jesus, but there were chainsaws involved, and it was just, I'll have to watch it again. But I just remember, I was like, what the hell am I watching? Kind of similar to David Lynch in a way, in terms of the reaction I got from it. But those are some of my favorite filmmakers and auteurs. Thought I'd take a little minute to plug our auteurs page there as well. If you have a film that you've been working on, you really want to get it out there and show people without having it be curated or, you know, accepted by somebody. We'll just post it as long as it's not like pornographic or violent or something like that. We don't really experience any of that anyway. I just have to put that up there for legal reasons. But I would say, in terms of the filmmakers who inspired me the most, like I was saying, it was, I think, David Lynch, because it's so rare to see surrealism be accepted at a commercial scale like his films have been in the United States. you know, you will look at, in college, I did a film studies minor and we looked at different, excuse me, foreign films. And sure, there was surrealism there. But in terms of the commercial United States films, I don't see a lot of surrealism. I mean, you've been getting that a little bit more with more recent horror films, like maybe Midsommar has some surrealism in it. But it's just so inspiring to be able to write something crazy that has an effect on the audience and is just a box office smash as well, and again gains, or maybe not even box office smash, because I don't have, you know, the numbers in front of me. I could be wrong there, but just has such a following, such a cult following. I mean, look at Twin Peaks. They had two seasons. That's it. And it's, a lot of people think it's one of the greatest shows of all time, and I agree. So I think David Lynch inspires me a lot. Tarantino, obviously, he pushed the boundaries with, you know, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, all of that. I mean, talking about black comedy, oh, fuck, I shot Marvin in the face. You know, that is just, it's, I had a roommate in college who, great guy, still friends with him, but, like, very straight-laced. And he was a civil engineering major, and we were watching Pulp Fiction, or I was watching it, and he came in, and Marvin, this guy, gets shot in the face in the back of a car. And Travolta says, oh, shit, I just shot Marvin in the face. And Robbie, my roommate, just bursts out laughing. And I was like, objectively, that was the thing to myself. Objectively, this is like, this is a fucked up moment. Like, someone was just murdered in cold blood in the back of a car in broad daylight. And the blood goes everywhere. And it was by accident. But the way it plays on screen and Travolta and Sam Jackson's reaction is just like, it made this dude burst out laughing. Someone who I wouldn't have pegged for liking things that are dark like that. So it's just like something psychological there that really gets me. And I'll find the same thing happening in a lot of David Lynch's work on that surrealism level. So I talked about Son of Blackbeard a little bit, and it's not, I mean, there are some dark elements to it. I guess that test I was talking about earlier, when Blackbeard puts his son to the test, what happens is he asks, so he comes, Son of Blackbeard, that's the character's name, Son of Blackbeard, that's how creative I am. I name my film funding company The Film Fund, I name Blackbeard's son, Son of Blackbeard, really good with names here. But anyway, Son of Blackbeard is having this banger of a party at his dad's house. I guess he still lives at home. And he thought his dad was going to be away on business, but the dad comes home to all of these, you know, 20-something-year-olds just partying it up, and he gets pissed. So he says that Son of Blackbeard's ruining, you know, the family name, we're Blackbeards, and he tells him that his loot, he was home early from a raid, and he tells his son that his loot for the week, he has it in storage. And he tells Son of Blackbeard to bury it by sundown tomorrow. And he gives him his flintlock, which I guess is a very special thing, family heirloom, based on Son of Blackbeard's reaction. So the next day, Son of Blackbeard is wake and bake. He gets up, smoking a J, goes out to bury said loot. But some of Blackbeard's goons arrive and try to bury Son of Blackbeard alive. Son of Blackbeard shoots at them. He misses, just scares them off. But that was the test. You know, his son was going to be buried alive unless he could stand up for himself and really hone in on that true Blackbeard grit, you know, some dark essence there. And yeah, he was defending himself, but he did still shoot them. So I guess it plays kind of light, but he is being buried alive, and then the pirates kind of just like run off in a comical fashion. So I guess you could say there is some dark humor there that's been inspired by some of the filmmakers I was talking about earlier. And again, you can watch that. Honestly, if you just Google Son of Blackbeard, it should come right up. It's on my YouTube page, my Vimeo page, Facebook Watch, and IGTV. If you want to check me out on Instagram, it's at, oh my God, what is my Instagram? Is it at, yeah, it's at Thomas Verdi. Thomas Verdi. You can watch it there. So it wasn't easy to fund Son of Blackbeard. I got really lucky. I was a good student. I gained the respect of a professor who I am guessing went to back for me in the grant process, but it is hard to fund short films. No one wants to fund them because there's no return on investment on short films. I mean, I'm sure there's an exception somewhere where someone has made a short film, sold it to some online distributor, did Vimeo on demand, and they got a bunch of views and they made some of their money back, especially if they didn't make it for much. But by and large, let's say you spend $8,000 on a short, you are not getting that $8,000 back unless it's a branded film, or like I said, you get really, really lucky with online distribution and there's some platform who like buys it, or you get, I don't know. There's, in my experience, both as a filmmaker and talking to people, you don't make your money back on short films. They serve as your resume, your calling card, material for your reel that you're trying to get other work funded, or you're trying to land an agent or a manager. So it's tough to fund short films because the business guys or gals, they don't want to, like, it's not a good investment at all. So trying to get funding for Son of Blackbeard really inspired the film fund. And it was really that arduous process with the grants and screenwriting contests and how expensive it was too. I mean, some of these screenwriting contests are like $80, especially if you get into the extended deadlines. Sometimes we've extended our deadlines at the film fund here, but we don't charge more for it. Just because it's so much. So I also, aside from wanting to make the submission process a lot simpler, you know, you can enter in a few, sure, you should workshop your sentence, but you can enter in a matter of seconds if you wanted to. It costs $25 to submit. That's it. If you want to receive feedback from our judges, you can spend an extra $10 to receive detailed feedback, a few paragraphs on how you can improve your sentence, what's good about your sentence, what's not so good about your sentence, what our judges look for, things like that. So we're different in a couple of ways, different in the amount of time it takes to prepare your application, the amount of time it takes to actually submit, and then the cost of submission as well, $25. I think that's, I initially wanted to make it 50, but I was worried that, you know, it's only one sentence, it's not a full screenplay. Let's make it 25, let's make it a little bit easier to submit here. So that's what makes it different. And then I also, some feedback I've gotten from some of our previous funding recipients, just how quickly we're able to get you the funding too. The process works like this. With COVID, it's a lot of the projects are still in pre-production. We're making funding available until it's safe to shoot again. There are some productions happening a lot on the corporate side, but there are a lot of restrictions. And for indie filmmakers, getting that person in place and all those, you know, PPE measures is just Sorry, I'm getting a text message here because Tom, the amazing producer, myself, not Tom Raneri or other producer, didn't remember to silence his notifications. So how about this for transparency and authenticity? Boom. Okay, now they're off. So what was I saying? Protective measures are going to be so expensive for indie filmmakers. They would much rather put that money to equipment or cast and crew. So we're allowing them to wait. But anyway, how the funding works is, once you shoot your film, you submit an expense report with the completed film. We go through that expense report and verify the film was made and you spent all the money on things related to film and what you said you were going to spend it on. You didn't have a massive party and then just use the funding for nothing film related. So we go through that expense report, make sure that all makes sense. And then within about a week or so, we get you the funding. So it's super simple, super quick. Sometimes, like with that grant organization, I met with them twice and I didn't even get the grant. With the film fund, you submit, chosen as a winner. The contest periods are about 2 months long. We announce the winners a month after that final deadline. And then, not non-COVID times, you know, you could go shoot your film the next day. Let's say it's a 4-day shoot. You know, the following weekend, you could have your money from us. On reimbursement. So that's also something that makes us a lot different. We're very, very efficient in terms of the funding. We'll either send you a check or a PayPal, whatever you want to do. So there have been, I've been saying over 20 filmmakers we've funded so far, but let's actually go to the website to see how many we do have. One, two, four, five, six, seven, eight. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. So to date, we've funded, I should say, almost 30 rather than over 20. And some of those are teams, so really it is over 30. But in terms of applications, we've funded over 27 films. And when I say funded, some of that funding still has to be given out because of COVID and they haven't shot yet. But 27 filmmakers to date, over the past couple of years, I've been doing this part-time. I finally made the jump to do it full-time right at the beginning of the pandemic. Great timing. But some of those filmmakers received cash prizes, such as, you know, $6,000 to make a film, $8,000 to make a film, or they'll receive post-production services from sponsors such as Maestro Filmworks, which is a production and post house here in Philly, which we were doing an option where you could do a color grading prize or an editing prize. We decided to make it simpler and just make it a color grading prize. So they'll receive things like that. They'll receive 3 months of Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions to help their film in post. If they need post work done on it, we'll give away Kidsplit gift cards. Kidsplit is an equipment rentals company. So we'll give them enough funding in gift cards there for a few days shoot. What else do we give away? Oh, more equipment rentals from a sponsor named Expressway Cinema Rentals, also in Philadelphia. We're very homegrown here. And they gave away a Blackmagic Ursa package with a set of lenses as well for a weekend shoot. And they're continuing to do that. So I'm super excited for all that. We're adding more prizes because it goes to the original inspiration for the film fund. I was having a really hard time getting my film funded, and funding is used for not just hiring people, it's also used for renting equipment and software. So I want to give away as much as we possibly can, still make it a financially sustainable platform. So those are some of the prizes, some of the filmmakers. You can check out our blog at thefilmfund.co/blog. And if you scroll through, you'll see funded filmmaker showcases, or you could just search, you know, funded filmmakers on our website. Go to that previous winners tab as well, and you can see all the filmmakers there. We do interviews with our previous winners, so some promo for you, some promo for us. We're all about the community. We want to make things happen and get people out there. So some of my favorite contest entries, like, we don't release them until the shorts are actually released online, but we do have some. If we go to real examples here, you can see some of my favorite entries that have won. So let's see here. So one of my absolute favorite entries is for Treehouse, and it's "A man struggles to understand why each attempt to build the perfect treehouse leaves him staring at an empty tree with no evidence of previous work. The funding will go to creating multiple treehouses." And that was just, it was so existential and funny to me. I just thought it was great. And I'm not the only one who picks the films, obviously. We have a full judging panel who you'll come to know if you keep listening to the Film Fund podcast. We've interviewed one of them so far, Avi Seton. But these are just some of my favorites. I really liked that because it kind of gets that, like, what the fuck aspect of film involved, kind of like what I like in, you know, David Lynch's films and what I was talking about earlier. This guy just, he's trying to do this thing for his family, and it just, it's like pure existentialism. He's building the treehouse, and then the next day it's gone. Building the treehouse, next day it's gone. And great funding use too, creating multiple treehouses. That word multiple is just like, we're putting so much work into making this authentic. We're not just going to get a shabby little, you know, plastic treehouse. We're actually creating multiple treehouses, and something really, and it related to that premise, which is something we look for too. If your funding use, obviously you're going to use more of the funding than just spending it on treehouses, but if it makes sense and it relates directly to your premise, that helps a lot as well. One funny line item in the budget I was going through in the expense report was, I forget the exact name of the book, I'll have to look at one of our old tweets, but it was like, how to build treehouses for dummies. And it was I started cracking up. It was like, what is my job at this point? I'm verifying that someone is learning how to build a treehouse for a short film, and they're reading how to build treehouses for dummies. I just thought that was hysterical. So that was one of my favorite entries. Also Sunday Dinner. Let's see if I can find that as well. That one was just great too. And that'll be released extremely soon. I was actually emailing with Darren Miller earlier today about the release plans for that. We've been a little lenient because of COVID. Let's see here. Here we go. I'm looking at a blog post called How Winner Don Finelli Created Conflict in His Movie Pitch. I want to give you the exact entry here. And if you check out this blog post too, it gives you a really, really in-depth explanation of what conflict is, not just for film either, conflict in terms of writing, and how it can create and drive plot, how it can reveal opposing beliefs from people, and how it can entertain by creating relatable context and, you know, kind of emotional, dangerous, or exciting ways. So without further ado, Sunday Dinner is one of my all-time favorite pitches I've seen. An Italian-American man confesses to his passionate siblings that he is now vegan and refuses to eat their traditional Sunday meatballs, and I need money for DP and production design. And I just thought that was incredible because, like, Italian-Americans, they love their food, and their siblings are passionate. In this blog post, we go through how they use conflict-packed emotional words, like passionate, confesses. It's not just like an Italian-American man tells his sister he doesn't want to eat meat. It's like, no. An Italian-American man confesses to his passionate siblings that he's now vegan and refuses to eat their traditional Sunday meatballs. Just like there's so much there. Traditional, refuses, passionate, confesses. Just like these conflict-packed words, they bring so much. And, you know, the word traditional, Italian-American, vegan, even Sunday meatballs. They're not just meatballs. They're traditional Sunday meatballs. Now, when you say he needs money for production design, it's like he's going to spend a lot of money on production design. One of the main uses of funding is going to go toward production design. Production design is, you know, props and set dressings, things to really sell the world of the film and create that mise-en-scene. Like, I can envision what that kitchen looks like. Looks like my great-grandmother's kitchen. Well, I was never at my great-grandmother's kitchen, but excuse me, it looks like my grandmother's house, you know, and she's making meatballs on Sunday. Maybe there's some, like, Catholic, you know, statues or whatever they're called. So it was great. It packs a lot of emotion, a lot of conflict, and the funding use directly relates to that world and sells the world of the film. So that one is a really good sentence, and I'm super, super excited to release that soon. So I talked a little bit about how the film fund has come to be, but I haven't talked so much about the future of the film fund. So we have some pretty interesting projects in the works here. We're continuing with I took a sip of coffee before I got cold. Continuing with our contests, we're going to do 4 contest periods in 2020. We did 3 this past year. In a pandemic, I think that's pretty damn good. So thank you so much to everyone who entered and is still allowing this community to thrive. But we're going to do 4 next year. We launched a music video contest, and we didn't get a ton of entries as much as I had hoped for. We wanted 100. We got a handful. We are still going to fund that music video, though, and pick a winner. But we may tweak that music video contest. We may get rid of it. I'm not sure. If you're listening and you really are excited about music videos, let me know, and we'll keep it. But that was one thing we tried. We may still do that. We have merch that's coming as well. You'll see I have this sweatshirt on. And the mugs, I've been drinking almost every podcast that have our logo on them. I fucking love our logo. It's pretty cool. Thank you to Christopher Massey, who helped me design that logo way back when. But we have merch coming out very, very soon. We're using a third-party dropshipping company. So they're having some kind of technical problem in terms of calculating shipping costs. I don't want to just charge you guys flat rate and rip everybody off. So we're waiting for that to be sorted out. But we have merchandise coming. And probably the biggest project for the film fund is something I'm so excited to talk about. It's called FF Branded, and it's an agency. If you've been on our website and you go to any of the entry pages or even the homepage, there's a little disclaimer there. Not a disclaimer, but like a little teal highlighted section. And it says, if you enter any of our contests, you get to join our exclusive film funding network at no extra cost. In this community, you'll be repeatedly contacted with independent film funding opportunities. That's for FF Branded. Now, the hard part is going to be getting clients. That's always the hard part. But we have our first client, El Laundromat. And we've Hema Interiano, a very, very talented filmmaker, shot that first film. That'll be up on the website incredibly soon. It's going to be on ffbranded.com. But even if you enter the film fund and you spend that $25, that $35, and you don't receive funding or you don't receive a gift card or an Adobe prize, it was only $25. You didn't shell out like 80 or 100 like some of the other expensive contests out there. But you get to join a Discord server and you can chat with other filmmakers. There's a freelancers tab to hire people for your production or maybe even get gigs yourself. You can just share your work. You can talk about film. You can ask me what I had for lunch. I'm on there and it's all instant messaging too. So that's one perk. But the other perk is, you know, if we get a corporate client who wants a video produced, we're very into branded film and everyone is a filmmaker in this community. So we push branded films that are very story-based, very narrative-based or documentary. And there's no cost to submit to them. We'll create a brief based on what the client needs. We'll send that request for pitch out. You know, it's like the RFP process almost, but I call it request for pitch to make it a little more film related. And you submit your pitch. It might not be one sentence, it might be a little bit more detailed, but there's no cost to submit. So I'm very, very excited about that. The site is, it's technically live, but we don't have Hema's film up there yet. That film is called Superhero Mom, and it's a pandemic film about how, you know, a single mom is working at home trying to raise her kids, but they run out of clean clothes, but there's a pandemic, so they're afraid to go outside, but then they go to the laundromat, and it's all safe and clean, and they do their laundry there safely. And it's a great little film. It's amazingly shot. I think they shot it on Red. That'll be up very, very shortly, hopefully by the end of this week, if I can get my butt in gear and get it on the website. But I'm so excited for that. And if you're a brand out there listening, we'd love to produce a film for you. So you can contact me at tom@ffbranded.com and check out the website there if you're interested in that. What I have in store personally is working on the film fund and growing FF Branded. That's kind of my entire life right now. I do have that other short, the Toms that I mentioned, but that's on the back burner for now. We were in pre-production. We were putting a budget together to shoot it. I say we, the other co-producer is also named Tom, who is different than the Tom Ranieri, who is the producer with the film fund. This is Tom Smith. I used to work with him in my other job. He now works as a news producer. So it got to a point and I used to do personal training and my trainer's name was Tom. I went on a double date. The other guy's name was Tom. I was meeting so many people named Tom. I was like, this is just bizarre. My dad's name is Tom. So I made a little story about it. It's kind of like a dystopian, definitely black comedy because I don't want to give away the ending, but there's some dark shit involved in this one, but it's funny. I'll give the log line, I guess. And this one is a little bit more polished than Son of Blackbeard's log line I gave earlier. In a world run by Toms, a man named Tim tries to infiltrate their secret society because he feels that his name is close enough. And I'm just so excited to make this. I just don't know when it's going to happen. Hopefully people get the vaccine, go get the vaccine. And maybe spring, summer, we'll be able to shoot it. I don't know. But that's coming in 2021 as long as things settle down with COVID cases and, small little indie productions can safely return and not bankrupt us. So that's what I have in store for the future, growing the film fund, growing FF Branded, and getting the Toms off the ground. Like I said, I'm just like many of you in the community as far as experience. I learn as I go. The Toms is really my second project with a real budget and a real crew. So I guess maybe in this time I should submit it to screen editing contests. I don't know. I have to see how much that would cost. It might be a lot, but that's kind of the only thing I can do right now in terms of getting it off the ground and not having extra expense for a PPE. And I don't want to direct with a mask on. I feel like a lot of nonverbal communication is lost there, especially at my experience level. You know, I'm not like, oh, also, my God, I didn't mention M. Night Shyamalan in my list of filmmakers who've inspired me. Holy shit, I live in Manayunk, which I'm pretty sure is where Unbreakable was shot. And he is just, all of his films are set in the Philadelphia area, and he's just been such an inspiration to me growing up. I think I've watched every film he's ever made. How did I get on M. Night Shyamalan? I can't remember. Oh, like, yeah, he shot, I think Servant for Apple TV or Apple Plus or Apple TV Plus, whatever the hell it's called. And, you know, they all wore masks and everything, but he's M. Night Shyamalan. He's like, come on. You know, for me, for my second big production, I would be a little nervous, and my confidence level, I think, would be a lot lower with a mask covering my face. Like, if I give a direction to an actor and I smirk, his reaction to my direction is going to be a little bit different than if I set a completely straight face. So I feel like I'm still learning, and a lot of that learning would be lost if I, you know, if we had all these COVID measures in place. So hopefully they'll begin to subside in 2021 and the Toms will get off the ground. But I say all that to say that I'm just like you. I'm still learning and I'm gaining experience as I go. Sure, I have some corporate experience, and that's a lot different than indie filmmaking. But, you know, that was helpful too in terms of learning how to schedule shoots and how to budget for shoots, how to put a crew together. I kind of already knew how to put a crew together, but in terms of making a shooting schedule for like a 30-second spot that had an $8,000 budget, like, that was crazy to me. It's like, we're spending all this money on 30 seconds. I was like, hey, you know, that's the job. Client wants to pay that's great. Sure. I could do a lot more with $8,000 in 30 seconds, but that's the way it goes. And if you want to check out some of those corporate movies, yeah, I don't own them. They were for an agency called Forge Apollo LLC, but you can watch them on my website at thomasverity.com, just as part of my portfolio. So I would say now I want to talk about the similarities and challenges of both entrepreneurship and filmmaking and how the two go hand in hand. You've kind of seen that, but I would say that they're really, really similar, because at the end of the day, you're creating something and you're trying to get other people to engage with it. You want people to watch your film. You want people to use your platform. The platform being the entrepreneurship end of it, film being the film end of it. You're both creating something, and you have to get people on board to make that happen. You know, I had to convince my friend to make me this awesome website for $60 and a bottle of rum. I had to convince thousands of people to engage with the film fund. I had to convince and persuade, and this sounds kind of slimy, I'm using these words, convince and persuade, but it's sales. You know, everything you do is sales. But I was going to say, the professor who went to bat for me and helped me get the grant at Lehigh, I had to really put in the work and show her that I was a good student and impress her with my writing ability and my drive and my determination. So it's really about believing and creating something, but getting other people on board to make it happen. Because, yeah, the Film Fund is a small company, and I've been doing it full-time only since March of 2020. But, you know, I have a team of interns. I have part-time producer Tom Ranieri, and they all really believe in the Film Fund, and they want to see it succeed, and it is succeeding. Same with putting a crew together. You know, you have to work really hard, create something that you can get other people to believe in, and you have a crew. You know, and maybe if they really, really believe in your project, they'll be a little bit willing to work for a little bit less if you don't have a huge budget. So, I mean, same with Tom. Like, I don't have a huge budget with the Film Fund. He's part-time. Right now, he's at 5 hours per week. But he believes in the Film Fund, and it's something he wants to see succeed. So I would say filmmaking and entrepreneurship, they're so similar, because it's all about getting people to believe in you and getting people on your team, whether that's team members or even customers in terms of entrepreneurship, and audience members in terms of film, who, you know, if you're looking at a big feature film, your viewers are customers because they're paying to watch your film. So they're customers at the end of the day too. You're creating a product, and yeah, it's art infused and creative, and it can be magical, but it's a product at the end of the day. So you need to get people on board to help you make that product. You need to get people on board to actually pay for that product, watch that film. So I would say entrepreneurship and film are incredibly, incredibly related. And it's tough too. It's hard to get those people on board. I mean, they're like, even getting people to talk to you, it's difficult. You know, when you're in college, you can play the student card, like, oh, I'm working on a project, blah, 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 blah. I guess you could still do that outside of college and just lie, but that gets into ethics and something I'm not super comfortable with. But I feel like you don't need to lie. You can just, if you're genuine about what you're doing and can demonstrate that you really care about it, people are going to help you. Like, I'm in a business networking group here in Philly called Business People Anonymous, and I'm definitely the youngest in the group. I don't shy away from being honest about that, but I had a call with a vendor who makes accounting software. Accounting is not my strong suit at all. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a creative producer for sure. I hate accounting. I can do it. Obviously, I run the film fund, so I'm not terrible with numbers, but I just hate accounting. So I was having a call with this company that would help me automate some of my accounting and do projections and things like that and what-if scenarios. So it was a little bit of finance too, I guess. But I got to the end of the call and he said how much it was, and it was definitely out of my budget. And I pretty much told him that. He was like, hey, listen, I talk with you every month and part of this group, and I really value what you're doing. If you want some help, I can help you out and show you how to use QuickBooks and things like that. Just for free. He's like, I really value that community. So it's all about community. At the end of the day, it's being genuine, demonstrating that authenticity, and good things will happen. And if you don't succeed, you will fail. Well, how about that nugget? If you don't succeed, you will fail. But what I'm trying to say is, even in failure, there will be successes if you are a genuine person and you really showcase that you have drive and you want to create something. You're going to learn, and that failure will be a success, is what I'm trying to say. So any tips I have for aspiring filmmakers and producers, I would say don't be afraid to fail. You know, that's not new advice, but it's something that in my career, I look at my failures and I don't see them as failures. I see them as lessons learned and impetus to keep striving forward. There's a question here prepared for me that says, tips about the financial side of movie making. I would say don't be obsessed with getting a big budget. Like, if you can, like, work, if you have to work for a job and save part of your paycheck for a few months or a year, you don't need $50,000 to create a short film. You don't need $8,000 to create a 30-second video like I did at my other job. You can make something really, really amazing for not a lot of money. Grab your friends, grab a boom mic, grab some equipment. Oh my God, another project that we're doing on the Film Fund is a resources page. It's launching hopefully in the next few weeks. It's just a recommendation of, and yes, a disclaimer, it's affiliate marketing. We're recommending products and software, and we may get a percentage of those sales if you do decide to purchase the items after visiting our website. But it's a recommendation on some awesome starter gear, some awesome resources for digital marketing. So saying all that to say, go get some of that gear that we're going to recommend on that website. It'll be at thefilmfund.co/resources. And grab some of that, grab some friends, and make something. And if you want to make it look amazing and have production value, save up from your day job for a few months or a year and invest in yourself and put that into a film. Now, I think you should also invest in savings account and investment account. But if you're able to make it work, just save up. I mean, if you got $1,000 or $2,000 and grabbed some buddies and hired some actors and maybe a crew member or two, you can make something incredible. So now, all of my experiences from short films, I have not produced or directed or done anything with a feature other than written a few that are on my hard drive. But so take that with a grain of salt as well. But I would always say, when you're making a movie, when you're making a short film, don't obsess over the budget. Save up a little bit or submit to the film fund, get a few thousand or 6,000 or 8,000 or whatever we can give out based on the number of people who enter, and just make something. Work backwards. Work backwards with what you have, I think, is a good piece of advice. Don't obsess over, oh, this is, I need $20,000 to make this film because I need to hire this guy and this gaffer. And no. How about, here's $5,000. What can you make with that? And that's what I would say. I think that's a pretty good note to end on. I want to thank everyone for listening and tuning into this podcast. Remember that the most recent contest finalists will be announced incredibly soon, within the next couple of weeks. We have up to $10,000 being awarded to documentaries, narratives, music videos. We have Maestro Filmworks sponsoring a color grading prize, as we talked about. We have Kitsplit gift cards. We have Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions. So many awesome prizes. We have an equipment package sponsored by Expressway Cinema Rentals. We want to make films happen, and you'll be finding out very soon who is making those films in the next few weeks as we announce the winners via our email newsletter. So once that's announced, we'll also put those winners up on social media and our website. So be sure to check the website regularly, thefilmfund.co, that's .co, for the most up-to-date information. And remember that our blog, thefilmfund.co/blog, is filled with great filmmaking and producing tips. So check that out and sign up for our newsletter. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, to stay up to date on what's happening at the Film Fund. Again, I want to thank you for listening and watching, because I'm also on the video here. And remember to tune in every Friday, wherever you watch podcasts, for new episodes. I am your host, founder and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verity, and thank you for listening to the Film Fund podcast. Goodbye.